Again, it was a gas explosion, and certainly by all indications, everything we're not only seeing from the scene, but also from the eyewitness accounts that we've been hearing, it certainly does seem that that's exactly what it was. We do know that there was construction going on in the building, and this happens occasionally. We've also heard a report, and again, this is from one eyewitness, that perhaps there was a smell of gas in the area, and perhaps some folks had already started to make their way out of the area before the explosion happened. But clearly you could hear from our eyewitness there, Greg, just a few minutes ago, that he was, what, a block or so away, and he felt it with no problem. So you know that this is something in that whole Longfellow kind of neighborhood that was felt for probably several blocks, the way this looks.
Indeed. Should we take a break here? It is 29 minutes after 11 o'clock. We'll take a break here and continue. We'll check back with Adam Carter in just a bit, as he is talking with other eyewitnesses in the area. And again, we learned earlier that I believe the assistant chief is the one who walked back the claim of a fatality, because it had not been confirmed, and he wanted to make the media aware of that. We'll be right back after this on WCCO.
Breaking news from WCCO.
We continue with this coverage. The news of the explosion, I think, first occurred, the first call that we got was at about 10:40 this morning. The explosion I'm referring to is that at Minnehaha Academy, what they refer to as the upper campus, originally built in 1913, and that stretch there along the West River Road, West River Parkway in Minneapolis, just about one block south of Lake Street. We did learn that there were some people who were taken to HCMC, Steve.
That's right. Three are unaccounted for, John, but five have been transported to the hospital, and our Lindsay Gensel is at HCMC. Don't know if that's the hospital they went to or not, but Lindsay's outside, and I know they're getting ready, right, for any eventuality.
Yes, they are getting ready for any victims that might be brought in. I'm standing at the intersection of 7th and Park outside the Hennepin County Medical Center near the ambulance entrance. Now, I want to make it clear right now, we don't know if any of the victims have been brought here at this time because of the timing of everything. We do have an ambulance coming into the bay right at this moment. Again, I don't know if this victim is associated with the explosion at Minnehaha Academy. I will say there are medical cloths blocking the entrance to keep anyone from seeing what is happening. There's a handful of medical personnel. And prior to this ambulance coming in, which literally just parked seconds ago, there were medical professionals, there were police officers, sheriff's deputies standing at the ambulance entrance waiting for a potential victim. Now, as I said moments ago, you could probably hear the sirens when you came to me. An ambulance from the Hennepin County Medical Center did park at the ambulance entrance here at the intersection of Park and 7th. Now, we can only assume with everything going on that this is one of the victims from Minnehaha Academy, but as I said earlier, we have no confirmations that any of them have been brought to this hospital at this time.
All right, Lindsay, again, five, the number here from Minneapolis police, five have been transported to the hospital. One was evaluated and released, but there are three that are still unaccounted for. Lindsay, we'll check in with you again. Let's get to WCCO's Adam Carter, who is on the scene at Minnehaha Academy, where this all transpired about an hour ago. And you can kind of set the scene for us again, Adam.
Steve, I've kind of made my way now to a different vantage point. I guess I'd be on the east side of the Minnehaha Academy, and now I've got a fairly stunning view of the damage that this explosion caused. I'm looking through a gap through this building that otherwise would have been a structure. So obviously a large, significant part of this building was blown up and collapsed because of this explosion. Also, I'm on the scene here. It looks like there's a media staging area, so hopefully we'll get some sort of confirmation, some sort of official word from investigators and authorities on the scene here. They're kind of coordinating before they talk to us. But again, we'd like to know, obviously, how many. We're hearing three people unaccounted for. Is that it? Do we have any fatalities? What are the significance of the injuries that people have sustained? And a cause, and whether or not the gas is contained. So lots of questions for authorities before they address the media. I also saw WCCO Sloan Martin. She's here, too. She's kind of moved into the position where I was. So we've got this thing covered now from both sides, and we're just awaiting some sort of word from some authorities here.
And, Adam, you talked about the hole in that building, and we've been trying to describe it from the helicopter shots we've been seeing, but you said it is stunning because it's in the middle of the building, and we were saying that you could have been on either side, kind of far away from this in the building, and gotten out unscathed. the way it looks, because the damage is right there in that one particular area, right in the middle of that very long, almost what, block long building or so.
That's correct, and it's about it's a section probably of about 30 or 40 feet that really is missing now, kind of a, almost like if it was a row of teeth, like a missing tooth. That's kind of what I'm describing it like. But there's also significant damage to the windows, obviously, on either side of where that portion of the building was, and you can see just kind of the structure where it was connected is kind of drooping down. So major, major damage because of this explosion.
All right, Adam, we'll check in again soon. Thank you, sir. We have heard, even though they are not coming on with us, and we can also say as we're speaking that there's another ambulance that just arrived at HCMC, according to our Lindsay Gensel. Again, we do not know if they that was from the Minnehaha situation or from something else in this large city. It could be anything, but we're clearly keeping an eye on that. And HCMC is, as Lindsay said, John, they are certainly they are staged and ready for any victims that might come in. But at this point, we have three that are unaccounted for at last check. And all of the summer program students at Minnehaha Academy have been accounted for, according to Minnehaha Academy itself. So that's really good news. We were wondering how many might have been there. We know that they're at least safe.
That's some very good news. Yeah, for folks who aren't familiar with Minnehaha Academy, as I mentioned before, originally built in 1913, and for the most part, for the longest period of time, up until 1972, it was just a high school. Not just a high school, but I mean 9 through 12. Then they added 7 and 8, and eventually purchased the old Breck Academy on 46th Street and 46th Avenue in the West River Road, between those areas. So that became one of their campuses. And then the other campus was housing other students. The one at the North Center had a new athletic center in it that was dedicated about 15 years ago. And there also a chapel and fine arts center dedicated about 14 years ago, while renovations of the South Campus have been happening all along as well. So just to give you an idea, the North Campus is the one that is just about a block south, one block south of Lake Street. Lake Street being 30th, right. and 31st would be the location for Minnehaha Academy, the upper campus as it's referred to now. The upper school, 85% of the upper school faculty members are all, you know, they could well have been in getting prepped for classes to begin, but again, it's nice to know, it's still as sad as it may be, that only three remain unaccounted for at this time.
That's true, and it really is one of those kind of old grand school buildings with the brick and the white trim. If you're familiar with that type of a building, if you're not familiar with the building itself, you've seen one of these types of buildings in your life, probably many of them. Again, originally built, what would you say, John, in 1913?
1913. So, but again, if you're familiar with the area and if you've seen the school, it's been added on to multiple ways over the years as they've expanded. As I mentioned, the new athletic center at that upper campus in 2002, and then shortly afterwards, a new chapel and fine arts center added to the facility.
Again, it is 11:43. Our coverage continues here of what has turned out to be a rather eventful, busy news morning with the building collapse, this explosion at Minnehaha Academy. And right now we are focused on what they believe are three people that are unaccounted for. The other thing that we'll hope to get, and you heard Adam mention that they are kind of standing by waiting for a press conference to get underway to give us more information to try to figure out what types of injuries these five who were taken to the hospital, as we understand it, that's the number we have now, what types of injuries they have suffered and how serious those injuries are. But right now the key is for the folks on scene are these three people that are unaccounted for. The other thing is, and I haven't seen a picture, John, recently, but I know a little while ago, in this rubble, we saw just one kind of flame shooting out of the ground, and that would certainly be indicative of a gas main that is on fire. They weren't even bothering putting any water on that. That is very indicative of the fuels coming from gas at that point. So that would certainly kind of play into this narrative that we've kind of been following, and that is the idea that this was a gas leak of some sort. And we have heard from some anyway, although this hasn't been confirmed from the fire department, but we've heard from some that, in fact, that the smell of gas was out there prior to this explosion. And perhaps some people even took the proactive step to try to get out of the building before it blew up, for lack of a better term.
Interesting to note when you think about the size and the way the school is divided and such. Report that the western central part of the building blew, which is what we're seeing, kind of more towards the middle, but the western side would be the soccer field side. There were believed to be 12 students in the gym when the explosion occurred, but they were unaffected during that situation. Also, some faculty members were present in the area around the school during the explosion. One person initially reported a fatality, but that has later been walked back. It has not been confirmed by anyone involved or anyone on board here. They're still waiting to get to this more information. And if you are a family member going to meet someone at the school, you are advised to go to 32nd Street and Edmund Boulevard. That is just one block up from the West River Road.
We have just gotten a statement from Governor Dayton, who, of course, was just a couple of hours ago in Stillwater, part of the ceremonies opening the new bridge in Stillwater. His office putting out this statement saying, "My office is in continuous contact with the city of Minneapolis and the Minnesota Department of Public Safety as emergency personnel respond to this emergency. The state will provide any and all resources necessary to aid first responders in their efforts to ensure the safety of all those impacted by this morning's explosion. I thank the many firefighters, paramedics, and law enforcement officers who rushed to the scene this morning and who are working still to ensure the safety of our children, adults, friends, and neighbors." Again, that's a statement from Governor Dayton. And let's make the point, John, that just this morning we had a story on the air about yesterday's dedication of a piece of the 35W bridge that they put at the training center in Northeast Minneapolis. And one of the quotes from the fire chief was that he hoped that this piece of the bridge would be a reminder for all of those who are first responders that they, in fact, it's a reason that they do what they do. And he also said, and that we can be prepared for the next tragedy. And here we are less than 24 hours later from that unveiling of this monument, if you will, that they are dealing with another at least we hope it's not a tragedy, but by all indications, it is certainly something that these folks have been trained to take care of.
Again, reminding you that five people were taken by ambulance to the hospital. One was evaluated and released. In the meantime, there are three who remain unaccounted for.
Let's go back to Adam Carter, who's standing by with more information. Adam.
Steve, I'm here with Ellen Reuter. She is director of development for Minnehaha Academy. She was in the building at the time of the explosion. Ellen, take me through what happened and what happened in the immediate aftermath.
I was in our office and heard a loud explosion, and some windows came in. Once we kind of gathered and tried to figure out what was happening, it was pretty confusing. We noticed that the ceiling tiles were falling down, there was debris, and so we have a pretty strong emergency plan, which we've practiced, and that's what we did. And we exited the building and did not understand the severity of the explosion until we got out to the parking lot and saw.
From where we're looking, where there's this gap in the building for the people listening on radio, how close to that area are your offices?
Well, we're down the farther corridor, so we were not directly by the main explosion. But it was still very loud. So,
what I'm hearing from neighbors too, even across the streets, that they could just feel it.
Yes.
Tell me about that sensation. Is that did you feel the same thing?
Yes. You could feel it in your ears. I mean, you knew something. We all knew something major happened. We just did not know what it was.
And how many people were in your office at the time, and everybody got out?
I can't speak exactly to how many of us were in the office, but there was maybe 7 or 8 of us.
Any injuries sustained by anybody in your area?
No, no injuries.
And we're hearing about 3 people unaccounted for. Is that what you've heard? Have you heard anything about people being injured at all and the significance of those injuries?
We don't know. We're updated the same. That's what we've heard too, but we don't know any more than that.
Ellen, how many students would be here on a morning like this?
Well, you know, obviously being summer, there was no classes, and the teams that were here for camp, all the students have been accounted for. And so if you're listening, the students can be picked up. If you're a parent, they can be picked up over on Edmund Boulevard by the school. So that's where we're directing the students. But all the students have been accounted for that we are aware of.
That's a huge sigh of relief.
Huge sigh of relief, yes.
What did you think had happened when you first felt it, though?
To be honest, I had no idea. I've never really experienced anything like that, so.
Was there work going on there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did you smell gas at all?
No, I did not smell gas, but I also have an office outside-facing window, so, but I did not smell gas.
Helen, thank you very much. Yep. I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad all your coworkers are safe. Appreciate it. So she is the director of development for the school. Obviously, a harrowing morning for her, and what was otherwise just a normal morning here at Minnehaha Academy. But the good news that we got from Ellen there is that all students who are here for camps or whatever for whatever reason are accounted for. So that's a big sigh of relief, not only for the school but for the community in general. Steve,
indeed, Adam, thanks a lot. Check in again with us when you can. Minneapolis City Councilman Cam Gordon has just been briefed by the acting police chief, Arredondo. He says that in his briefing, he learned that one person had actually been rescued from the top of the building, and the three crews are now going through the rubble by hand, and the teams are coming in with some bigger gear so they can lift some of that rubble. Again, this goes back to the notion that they are still looking for perhaps three people in this rubble, so that's what is happening. And he said, as Ellen just said a minute ago, with the summer schedule, they're not sure who was in the building and at what time, but any of the kids that were there for summer classes, they have all been accounted for. So that is absolutely the particular best news we've got so far this morning.
I would say, got a text recently in the studio here from a listener of ours who is a part of the board member, former board member. He says the new service center recently built and opened in the center section of that building. That may be the part of what exploded as well, connected because he's a former board member. This actually looks like an older part of the building. So until I am on the ground and I can get, you know, a close-up look, it's a little difficult to get even my bearings. I know that there are some roofs out in front of that are still, you know, intact, that appear to be intact with some of their heating and air conditioning equipment. So this looks like it was indeed an older section of the building, but I can't be aware. I can't know that for sure.
And again, we heard from Ellen. She was in the building when this happened, and she got out. She obviously felt it. She knew something bad had happened, but she got out. As we were speculating earlier, that this is not a situation where the whole building was damaged or certainly leveled. It's a slice of the building, and just because we're seeing this particular rubble would not necessarily mean that if you were in that building, as we heard from Ellen, that you couldn't have gotten out safely. So we just continue to wait, hope to get an update from fire and police and everybody involved. Again, if you did have a kid, a child there at the school for whatever reason this morning, there were camps or whatever, they can be picked up down on, and I keep forgetting the
32nd Street and Edmund Boulevard. That would be on the south end of the school and just one block up from the Mississippi River Parkway, Mississippi River Road, West River Road.
We hope to get, John, another briefing by police and fire in about 10 minutes. So kind of alerting our reporters along the line that that's what we've just received from Minneapolis police, that there will be another briefing. If we can, of course, we'll grab that for you live. Otherwise, our reporters will be there and we'll bring you what we find out from them. Obviously, it's an all hands on deck kind of a situation for first responders, fire chief, chief of police, the acting chief of police there. The mayor is there, of course, the Cam Gordon, and I'm sure there might even be other city council members, but Cam Gordon, I believe, is the counselor for that district, and he is there getting updates as well. So this is obviously a major story and a major blow to a neighborhood that, as you said, John, this morning at 10:30 was all quiet, and it was a regular, beautiful, you know, sunny day in Minneapolis.
Yeah, indeed. Again, that school, Minnehaha Academy, it's the what they refer to now as the upper campus, or the which would have been for a number of different activities. As I mentioned earlier, there were about a dozen people playing basketball in the gymnasium side. They were isolated from this incident, probably the same way as the development director was isolated down in her office, although she said she felt it, but it didn't appear to be in any danger, and there were no injuries there. She said, I don't know if she said her windows blew in. I got that sense at one point that's what had happened, but maybe she was talking about windows in another part of the building.
Yeah, I couldn't tell either, but we have seen, certainly near this location, and it looked like the windows had been blown out.
Yes.
So it was clearly an explosion with the concussion pushing outward. Many of the windows were certainly damaged in that regard. So we will continue to follow this for you again. We hope to get an update from the first responders who are on the scene here within the next several minutes as we continue to watch this developing story. We should say, too, John, that I guess within the last half hour or so, the smoke that had been rising from the rubble is pretty much finished now from what we can see from the helicopter images that we've been watching. There for a while, the smoke was certainly not thick, but it you certainly could tell that there was some fire going on there. But it looks like that's out. And maybe that's good news that they got the gas or whatever the fuel was for this fire. Maybe they had been able to turn that off.
Yeah, as they continue, I saw just one of the live shots from the scene continue to pour water on on that structure. So and we'll continue to watch that. Paying attention to this. It happened at about 10:30 this morning. There were some people who did smell gas and actually left the building at that time. Some others who were on their way out and didn't get out before the explosion, but did eventually get out. The report we had from Lindsay Gensel earlier was from HCMC that there were five people who were injured. We're not sure if they were all transported to HCMC, but five people who were injured. One was evaluated and released. And then in the meantime, the thing that we continue to hear is that three people are still unaccounted for or perhaps missing in that building collapse. But as you said earlier, unaccounted for doesn't necessarily mean that they were in the building. They just haven't been able to connect with who they were and where they were. So.
Right. Without knowing who the people are that they're looking for and why they would have been in that building. Obviously, if there was any construction worker, if they knew that these three people were in the location of the explosion, that would be one thing. But otherwise, if they were just in the building, they could have gone home. They could have dropped their cell phone. I mean, who knows? So until they track them down, we simply won't know. What we do know, though, as we mentioned from Councillor Cam Gordon, who got briefed by Acting Police Chief Arredondo, that the teams, the rescue crews are coming in with bigger gear so they can lift some of the rubble up. That would indicate that they are looking for someone in that or some people in that rubble, and that three crews are going hand by hand. Okay, we just got an update here. Minneapolis Fire now reporting, John, that they are now searching for two unaccounted for. One has been found uninjured. So just as we said, they found someone who they had to put in the unaccounted for category, but that person has been found. So the news gets a little bit better with each passing minute. Sometimes in these situations, the news gets progressively worse. But in this case, you know, we started out with what we believe to be a fatality. That's not the case. Now we had three people unaccounted for. That number is down to two because the one person has been found okay.
Indeed. This text message to the studio says, I smelled gas from across the river on East River Road in Marshall. That's the same as Lake Street. They thought they smelled gas in the area. That was at about 10:30 this morning. Supposedly, is that the Minnesota Building Collapse Technical Response Team that is at the site? They're the ones who might be on site to see about removing some of that rubble.
That would make sense.
That would make sense if there is that. School building, the middle section, what appears to be the middle section, but it might not be exactly the middle, collapsing at Minnehaha Academy at the upper campus. Again, that's the one that is one block south of Lake Street, probably bordered by the West River Road and 46th Avenue, where there is, that's where their soccer fields are on the 46th Avenue side. And then as you see the front of the building, you'll see some newer sections because it's, there is, as I mentioned before, the original structure built in 1913 and has been added on to multiple times since then.
Now, is this, we had our eyewitness, Greg Hendricks, who's familiar with the area, lives about a block away. He said that where this hole is in the building, that would have been perhaps a hallway. Or at least part of a hallway connecting maybe these two other buildings, which would make sense, again, because this thing has been kind of added on to.
Yeah.
So that would make sense as well. Again, we don't know for sure if there was work going on. We've heard that, and we can assume that that's the case because we have heard it now from a number of folks, including someone who actually worked at Minnehaha Academy, that there had been some work going on. Ellen, who we had on, who is also with the academy. She said she wasn't aware of that, but she wouldn't have necessarily been aware of that given given the situation of where she was in the building in relation to where this explosion took place.
We'll ask people to stand by. We're going to take a break here for CBS News at the top of the hour. But that's after that 3 minutes, we'll be back. Chad Hartman will have more coming up. Adam Carter at the scene, Sloan Martin at the scene, Lindsay Gensel.
We're going to jump in right here. Chad Hartman jumping in. The assistant police chief is now addressing the media. We are trying to get to that in a matter of moments. Obviously, this is picking up on the coverage. We started little past 10:30 regarding the explosion at Minnehaha Academy. Let's now go to the assistant.
He's actually fire chief. Fire chief, right?
The assistant fire chief. Let's make that correction. And let's go to it's Brian Tyner. Here's Brian.
Matter getting to the bottom of it.
Well, it can look a number of different ways. We have to be very intentional about that. Moving one thing can cause a collapse in another spot. So the first thing we need to do is try to identify void spaces where people could be surviving in there, and then try to move the rubble in a way or access those spaces in a way that won't cause any further damage.
Is this something that you train for?
This is something that we do train for. Structural collapse and technical rescues is something that we do train for. We actually have a special crew just for that. We call it the Heavy Rescue Crew. And we are also a member of Task Force One, which is a state resource that handles these types of emergencies.
Are you moving things brick by brick, or what are you doing?
We are getting to that right now. That's being assessed. It may be where we can move it brick by brick. It may be where we have to get in some heavy equipment to move some bigger slabs or bigger portions of the building.
And can you hear any voices or anything under there?
Right now, I don't have any information that we've heard any voices or anything.
Is there anything you want to say to the public about all this and what they should know?
They should know that we're working hard on trying to identify these last two unaccounted for people. That it may take a while because we have to be very careful about how we do this in order to not cause any further damage, but that we are working on it. We do have a bus set up over on 32nd and West River Road for family members of any people who may have been in the building or may have worked here or whatever to find out where their family members are or what the status of their family members are.
Brian, can you confirm the two that are still unaccounted for? Are they staff of the school or part of that contracting firm you spoke about?
That's information I don't have right now. We're still trying to get good identities on those people.
So how do you know that there are two unaccounted for without identities? I'm just curious as to how that process works.
The first thing we do is talk to people who were in the building and ask them if everyone is out or do they know of anybody that would have been in there.
Brian, can you comment on the confidence level that there are two people still in there or whether or not they just may have not been in there?
You know, I'm not confident that they are in there. They may be in there. They may not be in there. I don't know that at this point. Again, the last person that we found was not in there. So our hopes are certainly that the other two are not in there, but we don't know that yet.
We heard some witnesses tell us about civilian efforts to go back in and rescue people. Is that something you encountered?
That's not something that I encountered. Crews may have encountered that. I don't have that information right now, but I would expect that that would happen. That happens a lot on emergencies. People step up and try to help out.
What sort of work was going on that caused the gas main to rupture?
Work with the gas main, I think with the boiler system specifically.
Brian, were any of the crews working on the gas leak or any of the firefighters injured during this rescue attempt?
Right now, we don't have any firefighter injuries that I'm aware of. I don't know who was involved or who was among the people that were transported to the hospital, if they were school employees or contractors.
All adults
that I'm aware of.
Do you know roughly how many emergency crew members were working on this particular scene?
No, I don't know. It's a lot.
Could you tell us a bit about injuries? Did you say one? How many were the injuries?
We transported five to the hospital. One was critical. I don't know the disposition of the other four, other than to know that they are not critical.
The initial report was one fatality. What's the update on that?
We had to back off on that. We had got a radio report that there was one fatality, but it was not confirmed, so we backed off of that. So at this point, we don't have any fatalities. We do have two people who are unaccounted for.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all we have time for right now.